church must unhitch itself from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line. It should not be still a problem in the church. The lost souls of black folk and white folk. Part 60. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28. The Bible reads, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this day that you have made. We praise you and we thank you for what good you have allowed us to already accomplish in this day, a day that, as the old saints used to say, we have never seen before, and we have, and we shall never see again. So Lord, help us to live wisely in it. We individually, Lord, confess our sins unto you, those of us who are Christians, and we ask you to forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Lord, make us clean and whiter than snow because of your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the salvation of those who are religious but lost, here and beyond here, in church, across the country and around the globe. We pray that you would empty us of ourselves, for we have nothing to bring. We have nothing to offer. And so, Lord, we pray that you would crush and crucify our flesh afresh and anew. Today, help us to die to self in every way. Fill us afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit, to do your work today, not only me, the preacher, but everybody who is serving right now. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would indeed demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit during this time. We also pray that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness. Lord, out of the hearts and minds of those who have that issue in their lives. And Lord, bind the devil and the demons of hell from this place and from these individuals. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. We pray, Lord, for over 3 million souls saved, 3 million Christians revived through the gospel, through this ministry. Millions more saved through other ministries. glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and where we as your people need to repent, help us to do so. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Dr. Ben Wetherington said, Paul offers a tour de force argument to counter racism and prejudice, which is combined in a deadly amalgam with bad theology. The truth is that such battles have to be fought and won in every generation of human history, because humanity is still a fallen lot. Now, beloved, by way of introduction to this powerful passage that we have been reading now for almost a week, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says about this passage, edited by Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zook of Dallas Theological Seminary, because God made everything, he is supreme over all, the Lord of heaven and earth. Such a great God does not live in humanly constructed temples as the Athenians assumed their Greek gods, little g gods, did. God is above human temples, but he is also self-sufficient and is not sustained by human provisions. This truth would appeal to the Epicureans, who believed that what little g god or little g gods existed were above human events. The last part of the verse, dealing with God's providing people with life and material needs, suited the Stoic philosophy of aligning their lives with the purpose of the cosmos. And don't you fool yourself, folks, a whole lot of the stuff, a whole lot of things that the ancients did is still going on today. But back to the commentary introduction, Paul was thus beginning where his listeners were and was leading them from their inadequate concepts of God and the truth. From one man refers back to Adam, this would be a blow to Athenian pride. They were sourced in the same original creation as everyone else. One purpose of this creation was to populate the planet. This sovereign God has omnipotently decreed the history and boundaries for the nations. Greece was not the only nation on earth. one of God's purposes in revealing himself in creation and history is that people would seek him. Though sovereign, he is also immanent and not so far removed that he cannot be found. To buttress his point, Paul apparently quoted from Epimenides, the Cretan poet, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Also, Paul quoted the poet Aratus from Paul's homeland, Cilicia. "We are his offspring." This second quotation was from Aratus's work, Phaenomena, "All people, Athenians, along with all others, are God's offspring." Not in the sense that they are all his redeemed children, or in the sense that they all possess an element of deity, but in the sense that they are created by God and receive their very life and breath from him. The Athenians' very creation and continued existence dependent on this one God whom they did not know. No such claim could ever be made of any of the scores of false little g gods worshipped by the Greeks. And so, ladies and gentlemen, with that introduction, sadly, much of the news, even today, all morning long, all day yesterday, all night last night, all afternoon on Sunday, we read and hear and see today comes to us through a filter of race and racism. And obviously it does not matter if the president is black or white. An altercation reported one way by the media takes on a new tone once the races of those involved are revealed. I would venture to say, since I'm very familiar with the news and the news gathering process and all of that, I would venture to say every day 30% of the news, at least 30% of the news, deals with race. Sadly. In fact, I believe that most newspapers would shut down if they didn't have to have race to report about. Sometimes it appears that the story changes entirely based upon race. We have had protests, marches, rallies, and yes, race riots in the 21st century, not just the 20th century. Why are we still struggling with this question of race even after a two-term black president? And I'm going to say something that black folk are not going to like and white folk are not going to like. Oftentimes, it is the black president or the white president who keeps up racism and prejudice mess going on in the country, because that's their ticket to win. It's all politics. And that's why I said yesterday, and I'm going to say it again today, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to unhitch itself from politics as well. Because it's a racket. It's an evil, wicked, worldly racket. And Christians ought not to get themselves caught up in it. Pray for the president. Pray for your representatives. Vote, if that's what you want to do. But aligning yourself with any politician is an exercise in foolishness. The black preachers did it for Obama, and look what we got. Now the white preachers are doing it, and look what we're getting. The same old, same old. And it's going to be that way far into the future until the church becomes the church again. We don't need to be buddy-buddy with the preacher so that we can be, with the president, so that we can go to the White House dinner, Christmas party, or whatever. We need to be a prophet to the president and tell the president, thus saith the Lord. And this racism, foolishness, and dog whistling and all of that, they need to cut it out. And I'm talking about the black president and the white president. We have folks now trying to tell President Trump that he ought to heal the racial divide in this country. And I said already a couple of years ago, if a black president who was mixed, who is mixed, has a white mother and a black father, if he can't heal America's race problem, then you cannot look for President Trump to do it. Now, should they continue to feed the fire? No. But they will, because it is what gets votes for the black president and the white president. And that's why Christians need to step aside and, in the words of Tony Evans, become the referee. And I don't care if you like it, whether you're black or white. Our job is to be the prophet, to be the Nathan to the president, not to align ourselves with the president or the government. To pray for them and to tell them when they're wrong, to encourage them when they're right. Be that as it may, it is because largely, until recently, we even those of us in the church, have not begun to deal with the issue of race from a spiritual perspective. As Dr. Tony Evans told the church, the black church and the white church, and all churches and this nation many years ago, and he's done it repeatedly in different forms: radio, television, books, preaching, and we have not listened. Another hot summer is upon us, and we are not saved. And black folk and white folk have lost their souls, even in the church. Many black preachers have sold their souls, and look what we got. Many white preachers have sold their souls, and look what we're getting. We have been trying to change man's mind about race when what really needs to be changed is his heart. Just yesterday, President Trump held a press conference and just went off in wrath form. centered on race and different ideas and views about race and people's different views based upon race. And then for, I might say, rather beautiful ladies stood up and gave their press conference. And they were well spoken. The little Muslim lady, she just went flat off. And just went off. Said some things that shocked the nation, I'm sure. All centered on race. The white president and the so-called women of color. And the sad fact is both are wrong. Those ladies have been wrong about race. Two of them have said the wrong things about Jews. And the president is wrong for tweeting the mess he tweeted on Sunday. And every white preacher, Franklin Graham, Dr. Graham, Jack Graham, First Baptist Dallas preacher, Dr. Jeffress, all of the preachers that have surrounded President Trump ought to condemn what he said. No matter what, they think about it, this ought not to be said by any president. Go back to your own country when you're talking to three American citizens, natural-born citizens. Just yesterday. And as they say, it's going to be a long, hot summer that's going to last all the way around to next November. Race is already a big issue, the number one issue in politics today. But back to what I really want to say, and no intellectual argument for civil rights, fair treatment, and general equality will change a man's heart. None of that will work. The only reason why this black man is not bitter and resentful, this black man is not angry at white folks, pardon me, have I been the subject of racism? Have people tried to practice racism against me and all? Oh, yes. I live in an area that has racists. I'm surrounded by white people. And that's fine with me. Because I love all people for one reason, because of Jesus Christ. That's it, man. It's impossible for me to hate white folks and because of Jesus Christ. He's the one who changed my heart. And I find it strange that if you're white and you hate me, why has he changed your heart? Maybe you've been slipped the Mickey. You might not be born again. And you can't fake this. You can't pump it up. And you can't hide it. Only God and the transformative power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Only God can change a man's heart. Well, I was down for the cause, man, before I got saved. I was impressed with Jesse Jackson. I wanted to be like him. Black power. No justice. No peace. I was down for the cause, man. You're black and you're beautiful. Keep hope alive. I was down for the cause and getting ready to go to law school so that I can more better serve my people. But then I met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And I say that because it was one of those rare transformations, salvation experiences. I was going in one direction, fast and hard. Partying hard and jam, jam, boogie, boogie, letting the good times roll, in the words of Dr. Charles McKinney. I was going to hell fast and even told my friends that I was going to drive the bus and we were going to party in hell. All we needed was some Slits malt liquor bull. We can ride that bull. Ride that bull. But then I met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Coming out of religion, Dad was a preacher, Mother was a preacher. I was running as fast as I could from the church. Hated preachers, hated the church, hated my dad, who did nothing but love me. I despised him. I carried his name, and he was well known on television, and I hated it. So I had to really act ugly to try to fit in with the fellas. But by the grace of God, a young man came to my dorm room while I was in the United States Air Force with a big old Bible and showed me with his bony, nervous finger. His name was Michael Lewis. He showed me the Romans Road to heaven. First time I ever seen it in my life. I've never seen these verses before in my life. Now, I'm not saying somebody didn't say them, but I didn't hear them. I can assure you that. My dad never showed me. My mother never showed me. I was lost and on my way to hell, religious like most black folks were. Where I'm from, down in the South. But Michael Lewis showed me how to be saved. Romans 10:9 and Romans 13, something I'm getting ready to show some folks right now. I've been doing it every day for many years now. Sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, making it plain, not mixing up with a whole lot of other stuff. Just the pure gospel. The unadulterated gospel, as we used to call it. And I got saved December the 19th, 1979. And I have not hated white folks since. And I have realized that I have white folks in my family, in my history. So why would I hate my own people? My mother is at least half white. And got some Indian blood in it as well. My last name is white. That ought to tell you something. And so Jesus changed my heart, man. And so I don't hate for it. And I don't hold grudges against people. I don't have any bitterness in my heart. I could live in an all-black neighborhood. I choose not to. So, you're not down with it. No, where you live at? You live on Pork Chop Hill somewhere with the white folks, so just be quiet. I'm not mad at anybody. And the truth of the matter is, white folks have been good to me. Black folks have been good to me. Red folks have been good to me. Brown folks have been good to me. God has shown me favor. See, it's all about God, man, and Jesus. It's not about all that. And let me tell you, some of you black folks, something. All your black heroes, every last one of them, in history and living today, they all got some good white friends who helped them. They got some good Jewish friends who helped them. They got some good Mexican friends, brown folks who helped them, as they are called. Latinos. All your heroes. So don't you cut off your nose to spite your face, man. I would encourage you to get saved, get your heart changed, and start loving all people. Even when they abuse you sometime, even when they mistreat you, and there will be some. You might walk into a Walmart and they might, their little security out in the back may falsely accuse you and run you down. You just remain calm. Don't get ugly. That's what they expect you to do. And then you're going to be in jail for nothing. You know you didn't do anything, but they messing with you. And in certain communities, they're going to do that. But you just make sure you respond right. When the white police officer pulls you over, and it's going to happen, it has happened to me, but they totally change their mentality and their attitude when I am respectful and, yes, sir, and here's my license. Have your stuff with you. Have your stuff together. Have it in your top pocket. You don't have to be searching for anything. And just have it, both hands out the window. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, officer. How may I help you? What have I done wrong? Whatever. You think I did that? Okay, just give me the ticket. Yes, sir. God bless you, sir. Have a great day. Here's a gospel tract. You say, I'm not going to do it that well. You're going to be dead. Okay? Now, that's just the way it is, man. Hey, he pulled me over because I'm black. Well, first of all, we don't know all of that. Number two, if he did, just go ahead on and do what you got to do, man. To stay alive. Show respect. Don't cop an attitude. Don't get ugly. Whether he's a racist or not, he's still the law right then and there. And you're not. It's a matter of understanding authority. And I've never had a problem. I had a problem when I was a much younger man, many years ago. But I haven't had a problem since. An old white man, I was speeding in the morning time, early in the wee hours of the morning, through one of these little towns. You know, they make all their money through giving out tickets. I was driving from Atlanta down to Florida. And about 2:30 in the morning, man, I was zooming. I thought I had it going on. An old white man pulled me over. Sheriff. Police officer, whatever. I think it was a sheriff. Old guy. It had to be about 65. Got out of the car. Walked very slowly to the car. I thought it was going to be forever. I said, what is it? And he pulled me over and he said with an old southern drawl, young man, you're speeding through my town. Now, my job is to teach you how to operate a motor vehicle on the highways of Georgia. And I'm going to teach you that lesson. What? What, man? And he was very polite, very respectful, and kind. And he gave him the ticket now. And then learn your lesson on how to operate a motor vehicle on the highways of Georgia. And I shall never forget that. But it could have turned ugly, real bad and real quick. But thank God I'm still alive to tell the story. And I was not, you know, super respectful back in those days. Anyway, the apostles and I'll tell you what, I'm going to end on that point, and we'll pick up tomorrow, by the grace of God, part two of this sermon in this mini series. So let's stand for prayer, and then I want to share something most important with you. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for your love, your mercy, and your grace that you shed abroad in our hearts through Jesus Christ. Not only to love other people, but Lord, not even be bitter about the past, not even be angry about the past, don't want to even deal with the evil that took place. We acknowledge it. We know it happened. But we have no right to hate people who are living today who were not living back then and hold them accountable for the sins of their parents. You don't even do that. As far as hell is concerned, a person who goes to hell for their sins and not trusting Christ, they go by themselves. You don't cause the children to go to hell for the sins of the father or the mother. And so, Lord, we pray for the salvation of lost souls today, the need of the hour, the need of all time. Is for the gospel to be preached, for lost people to hear the gospel and to be saved, and they will get their hearts and lives changed as well as you change mine. And you'll take away the bitterness, you'll take away the anger, you'll take away the resentment and the hard feelings. I don't know how you do it, but I know you do it, and I know you can do it, and you've done it not only in my heart, but in the hearts of many people. Sometimes people wonder why we are not angry, we're not bitter, we're not resentful, why we don't feel like marching anymore, and so forth. It is because of what you've done in our hearts, and they need it done in their lives, and white folks need it done in their lives, even church members, even preachers. And we pray that you'll do that today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. In closing, ladies and gentlemen, if you are a Christian listening today, here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins, your own racism, your own prejudice. You already know what your sins are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent of their sins and get back to their first love. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost and by any means. Now, beloved, if you are with us today and you're in the church, but you still hate black people, you still hate white people, you get all riled up as a black sister because you see a black man with a white woman. You get all riled up because as a white man, you get upset when you see a white woman with a black man. You don't want those kind in your church. And you just seethe underneath with anger at black people, at white people. You need to be born again, dear friend. Dear friend, you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior. I know that you think you do, but you don't. You have not been born again. You have not been saved. That's the crux of the matter. And you need to be saved today. And in order to be saved, you need to understand some things. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The black man and the white man, the red man and the yellow man, the brown man, everybody. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's for the white man, for the black man, for the brown man, for the red man, for the yellow man. The wages of sin is death. And being proud is a sin. Therefore, proud and therefore racist, prejudiced, thinking like the Greeks were thinking that they were better than others. We got that going on today. And don't fool yourself. We have many black people who think they're better than whites. Many whites who think they're better than blacks. and Jesus Christ, God has made us, Jesus Christ died for all, and God has made us with one blood. We're all the same. It's not a skin problem, it is a sin problem. Thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell, and hell does not segregate. No, sir. I'm not playing with you. Hell does not segregate. Hell can care less whether or not you're black or white. The devil can care less whether or not you're black or white. He wants your soul to burn in hell forever with him. If you were the devil, knowing that you're going to hell, you got some demons in hell already, you would try to get some other company down there in hell with you, wouldn't you? That's what he's trying to do. He doesn't care whether you're black or white, red or yellow. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, he preached on hell many times. In fact, Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. Yes, the meek and lowly one preached on hell, preached and tried to warn people of the hell to come. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. The soul, your soul will live forever, my dear friend. And it has no color. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. These are the words of, yes, the meek and lowly, loving one, Jesus Christ. Preacher, you just never show any love. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. Who truly loves you? The parent who would chastise you and rebuke you and get on your case when you're wrong and tell the truth about you and to you? Or the parent who lied to you and never whips you, never gets on your case? God loves us. Jesus loves us. And he loves us so much, he will warn us about the hell to come. And he has done so. So hell is bad news, dear friend. But I have some good news for you. Whether you're black or white, you don't have to go to hell. For Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today. And he will. He will. Here are two verses that Michael Lewis showed me at the locker room, dorm room, still standing today on Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi, December the 19th, 1979. This is what changed my life. These are the words that changed my life. As soon as I read them, I have never forgotten them. In fact, 3 days later, I was on the streets of New Orleans during Christmas rush, on the street corners preaching the only two verses I knew. Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. I have to bring this up because I used to hear about saved, but when I was a child, young person. But saved from what? What are you talking about? Saved from what? I'm not sinking. I'm not drowning. What's going on? Nobody told me. I'm here to tell you. Saved from hell, man. You are on your way to hell with your mean, bad self. With your racist self, with your prejudiced self, with your proud self, with your lying self, you're on the road to hell. And Jesus came and suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again to save you from hell. He took your place. He paid your sin debt that leads you to hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul. If you don't know how to pray, that's fine. I will lead you in prayer like Michael Lewis led me December the 19th, 1979. Change my life around. And Jesus will change your life. Believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I've done evil in your sight. I admit that I have lied before. I admit that I have stolen things before. I admit that I have lusted after people and things before. I've coveted and wanted what other people had. I admit that I have taken your holy name in vain. I admit that I have not honored and obeyed my parents. For Jesus Christ's sake, Lord, have mercy and grace upon my soul. And please forgive me of all of my sins. For I've committed many more sins than that. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com. And read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you that will help you grow. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop, as we have done for so many others. Dear friend, until next time, God loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. By his grace, we love you too, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer.
I don't know why Jesus loved me.